On my sermon, it's from Mark 12, 39 through 34. One of the religious scholars came up, hearing the lively exchange of question and answer, and seeing how sharp Jesus was in his answers, he put Jesus to a question. Which is the most important of all commands? Sound familiar yet? Jesus said, the first is in importance is listening is, now listen, Israel, the Lord your God is one. So love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer and intelligence and energy. And here is a second. Love others as well as you love yourself. There is no other command that ranks above these. The religious scholar said, that's a wonderful answer, teacher. So clear cut and accurate that God is one and there is no other. And loving God with all my passion, intelligence, and energy, and loving others as well as you love yourself, why, that's better than any all offerings and sacrifices put together. When Jesus realized how insightful he was, he said, you're almost there, right on the border of God's kingdom. After that, no one else asked a question. They were too scared. I look at this in what we're doing in the sermons and Bible study is the passage we're concentrating on has three parts. Love God, love others, as you love yourself. So those are the three loves we're supposed to have in our lives. And I was trying to figure out, well, here in this one, it says how I'm supposed to do it. I should love the God with my passion, my prayer, intelligence, and energy. And think about it. Well, okay, what is all that? Well, our passion is what? An intense drive. My passion for God has me doing sermons and going all the way to Atlanta. It's 73 miles round trip to go to church on Sundays because I like my church. I love what we're doing. That we know that this is one of the key verses to everything. If you want a relationship with God, how do we do it? Love God above all else. And use everything we have to do it. So we have a passion. Some of us have passions for work, passions for our family and friends, passions for maybe artwork. Maybe you're skilled in singing and you love to sing and you share that. Or you love to paint and you share those. We have passions. We have many passions. And God is to be one of those. That we do seek God out first. Anytime we have troubles. Here goes that sinuses again. Sorry about that. So here we have. So the first was passion. And the person I am is like, well, what's a dictionary say? Because, you know, I can say it, but maybe say it more clearly. Passion is the intense driving or overmastering feeling or conviction with enough passion or conviction. In other words, it's something you feel greatly about. You just go with it. With enough passion to make. So one of the examples is you have enough passions to make a great poet. There's people that have enough passion about music that we're listening to them on the radio. Was it King Richard? I was watching Sunday morning on CBS. And Will Smith is playing Serena and Venus's father, helping them learn tennis so they could develop a passion for tennis so they could go out and play it. And they did have a passion. They became the top of the world. It's amazing what passion can do for you. Prayer. So we have passion, then we have prayer. We're supposed to pray to God. Jesus gave us an example in the Lord's Prayer. Prayer doesn't have to be in words. I can sit here and say, in my mind, God, you know I'm doing the sermon today. Make sure you're with me. That's me in my mind. And you sit at work and say, oh, you're at a red light. Lord, may you bless the person in front of me because. Or the person beside you. Stop the traffic light. They could be on that side. There's amazing things that can happen. So we need to pray. And it can just, like I said, be in your mind. It doesn't have to come to words. Intelligence. Well, let's see. Most of us spent 12 years in school. Some of us went to college. And what was that all about? Intelligence. Think about it. Isn't that what it is? We're trying to develop some kind of intelligence, insight, knowledge. So, intelligence. The ability to learn or understand or deal with new and trying situations. I intelligently figured out how to pass English class because that was my worst class. So we have the ability, within something intelligence, to figure out how to get there. And I was able to get there. Another definition for it is the ability to apply knowledge to manipulate one's environment or to think abstractly as measured by objective criteria such as a test. Sounds like school, doesn't it? I'm going to teach you all these nice and nifty things, and then I'm going to ask you questions about it on a test to see if you actually remembered it or learned it or understood it. In the Bible, if you think about it, you need to understand the Bible. And it's sometimes very challenging to understand it. So our intelligence, just reading, watching sermons, asking questions of those around you. Pastor Paul and I are there if you have questions. We just end of February, we did what? Ask the pastor questions. Come with your theological issues or thoughts or something that's troubling you, and we'll try to help you out and answer those. So we will help you, because you can't gain intelligence without the help of others. Skills. The ability. My father had great skills. He was a roundabout, all-around fix-it-up guy. He worked, made his living as an appliance repairman and HVAC repair person. And he learned all these skills. And I learned them, too. In fact, last weekend, I just rebuilt the toilet. Because I have the skills. Flapper, handle, water valve. All right, now it's working really great. We have skills. That's part of our intelligence, the ability to understand things. Intelligence is also the ability to question. If something doesn't seem right, question it. Make someone describe or define what they're meaning. That way you better know what's going on. Because what you might interpret it as one way and they really meant it another way. So remember, part of intelligence is asking questions, getting to know people. And we're supposed to use our energy, right? Well, one of the ways our church uses our energy is we encourage you all to come out to our hygiene kit Sundays. We haven't had one now in 2 years, unfortunately. 2019, we were trying to set one up, but it happened. It was going to be in March when it warmed up, and because we did it quarterly, because it takes a while to get all the supplies in. Unfortunately, with COVID, we could not and have not been out since. So we had 2020 none, 2021, we didn't have any. We are still using those hygiene kits. James Peek is doing something else. He's using his energy to do live tithe. So instead of saying, hey, if you don't have finances, but yet you have something to do, maybe you have something you donate. You never know. You could donate that. Hey, I got an old mouse I don't use. Donate to the church. We'll throw it on a website. eBay and see if anybody's takers or not, and that brings income in. So if you have things you want to donate, we'll take those, and James Peek will get them on the eBay, and we will and that'll be a donation to the church. So energy can be used in many ways. And it says, definition of energy is a dynamic quality. Dynamic quality. That's pretty good. You have enough I'm dynamic quality. The capacity of acting or being active. The dynamic quality was like a narrative of energy, verbal, which is, it does a lot with compassion too, doesn't it? I am compassion. I want to share. I want to tell you all about God. That's a dynamic quality. The capacity of acting or being active, intellectual energy. I don't know about you, but I find myself, to keep me active, I play hidden object games and Sudoku. In fact, I use Sudoku every evening and usually play 1 to 2 games before I go to bed and relax because my mind is always active. I, surprisingly enough, Sudoku is very relaxing for me. It clears my mind. I concentrate, and the next thing I know, I'm tired and ready to go to sleep. And all those other voices in my head go, bye-bye. Actually, they just go to sleep till today. When you get up, they come back. Next definition of energy, a usually positive spiritual force. How about that? A positive spiritual force. You all can be positive spiritual forces for those around you. You could be the one. When someone says something's going on, I need prayers, where God will say to that person, go talk to somebody. Hey, what about your friend so and so? Christy, your name's up there. What about Christy? Let's go talk to her because she's a positive spiritual force. Or May Marie, or Pastor Paul, Billy, Jennifer, Mike, you all can be positive spiritual forces. Energy, a vigorous exertion of power, effort. We take the effort to do things. We take the effort. What? We take a step. That's effort. If you believe in God, take one step in that belief and do something out of love for someone else. Energy is a fundamental entity of nature that is transferred between parts of a system. Think about a car. Energy goes from the pistons going up and down. It drives through a drive shaft because it gets turned as the pistons go around, which turn the wheels, which cause me to move. Energy. Right now, I could, what? I'm sitting here still. I can show you a chase of energy. Whoa! I used my feet to transport me backwards. That's energy. Energy can be used anywhere. I've been very fortunate. I'm very grateful for grocery stores that have wheelchairs, electric wheelchairs, so I can go shopping. I've been using them since December because I can't walk a store yet. And I'll continue using them probably for at least another month or so. But so many people want to help me. They said, do you need something from the top shelf? In the chair, you're not very tall. In my home wheelchair, I'm only 4'2". Which means I can reach the bottom shelf in my cupboards. In the wheelchairs at the store, I think we might be a little taller, but still, think about it. You're less than 5 feet. You can only reach so far. Like here, some dog I know just knocked. I can reach up here. Now, if I'm standing, I can reach the top of the door. Did you want to come in? Come on. I know it's cold out. Get in. Oh, while I'm at it, I got my brace on. Look how tall I can stand. Standing up, I can get to all sorts of things, can't I? But when you're sitting down, you have limits. Sure, it's a big difference, isn't it? So when you think about using energy, God's love, think of those around you. What can you do? And I've had more than one person at the stores help me out. And I thank them so much because they're using their energy, what? Their love, their compassion to help me out. And I thank every one of them very much so. So when you look today at that sermon passage, and it says that loving God, we're to love God with all our passion, intelligence, and energy, and loving others as well as you love yourself. Today we're concentrating on what? Loving God with all our energy and passions, intelligence. So today, try to concentrate on those. Our passions, our intelligence, our energy. Help us, our intelligence, to go out there and show God that we want to love Him, that God is worthy of love. There's many things we can do for that. So, thank you so much. Amen. May you go out through this week and figure out the best way for you to share some of those energies, your intelligence, and other things with those around you.